Hello, how the devil are we all? Welcome to ABW Live. Oh, wasn't the greatest game, was it? It was I don't know what to say. In any case, let's get on with it. Tonight, joining me, we have Danny the GFP. Say hello, Danny.
Hello, Jason. It's amazing, people. He's in such a bad mood, and the moment he goes live, he turns into a pro, and he's all back to good old Jace again. Oh, amazing, Jace.
Oh, what can I say? You know, I'm a chameleon. And as a special surprise for all you listeners out there, we have the Pikey Pirate himself. And for those in the chat box, even bigger surprise, we don't have a camera on him. Lucky, lucky you. It's Chris Carpenter. Say hello, Chris.
What a bloody game to make a return to that was, eh? Oof, crikey. Hello, Jace. You all right? Yeah, that sums it up quite nicely, doesn't it?
I think the official term for that game is frustrating and annoying and poor Danny Welbeck.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Danny Welbeck. Oh, in any case, let's get straight into it. Let's give some shout-outs first. Right up. First in the box, it's Thunder Road. Yes, Thunder Road. Daz316, Ron Reed, Guna73, MJL, Pat Brady, Brendan McCallum, Daryl Kane, Guna73, Alex Smith, Formy Noza, Kevin Urenda, Fred Flintstone, and 235100. Brendan McCallum, Nick Paris, Rob Slusar. Oh, hello, everyone. How the devil are you? Yeah, welcome to ABW Live. Not the greatest game to sort of analyze, but let's get straight into it. Chris, come to you first. It's kind of the regular, well, the recent regular lineups for Europa League. No surprises there, really, were there?
No, not at all. I thought the lineup was right. I think the sort of blend of youth and experience was right. We'll touch on the injuries a little bit later, obviously. I think that's probably the biggest downside to the evening, because when you rest your first team players, you kind of hope that the backup players don't get injured as well, which obviously is exactly what happened. So that's the downside. But no, lineup was what we expected. Good to see Socrates back to potentially fitness getting a run out. I wouldn't have, in hindsight, it's a wonderful thing. I wouldn't have changed anything lineup wise looking at it now.
Absolutely. Dan, we started okay. A little bit of a blip with Guendouzi getting caught in the ball edge of the box. A little bit of an experience there. He likes too many touches at times, doesn't he?
Well, he's young and inexperienced, and yeah. These are the kind of learning curve that he is on. I've said it before, it's a massively steep learning curve. Nobody other than Chris thought that he would come in and do what he's doing. And even Chris, the most optimistic, said he would maybe be in the first team by Christmas. And already this season, he has started so many games, more than, I can't remember the last time a young player has come in, not like someone come through the ranks, but to someone come into the club at such a young age and made such a magnificent impact. But so all these things he's going to be learning from. When you're going to get a bollocking off of Lichtsteiner or one of the other ones shouting at him to stop doing being so eager. I think he almost covered every single position on the pitch again tonight.
Yeah, you know, the positives far, 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 far outweigh the negatives of them. Yes. And this is the place for the learning curve for him, to be fair. Really been happy with him this season. Chris, you know, early doors, one of the club's legends, Sky's one. Bantz is back. Jenko. It was great to see him on the shot, wasn't it? Early doors.
Shot or was it a clearance? yeah, bless him. I think somebody, I don't know who it was, somebody tweeted a few weeks ago. I think it was a few weeks ago. I apologize, I can't remember who it was. But I think someone tweeted, and it got retweeted a lot of times, and it just said, fair play to Carl Jenkinson. He's living the dream we all wish we could do. Enjoy it. You know, he's I was trying to think to myself earlier on where we signed him from. Was it non-league? I can't remember that far back. We got him from,
got him from Charlton, and Charlton the season before had loaned him to Eastleigh or Eastbourne, right, or someone like that.
That's right. Yeah, that's it. So, I mean, you know, fair play to him. Yeah, I mean, I suppose the good thing is, whether you rate him or you don't, you know, I think we all can accept he's probably not brilliant. But it's another body, and it's a weird thing to say about Jenkinson, but it's an experienced body that you can call on in a game like this, which, you know,
link up. He's got the link up.
Well, that's very true. And in a game tonight, which really didn't mean anything, you know, the last thing you'd want to have seen tonight, I know Kolasinac got the last half an hour, but the last thing you would have wanted to see was like Monreal or somebody get crocked. So, yeah, I mean, he's a Bantasaurus Rex, and good luck to him.
I think the big thing at the moment, I'm not sure if you'd agree with me or not, is, you know, we take the piss out of Jenks a bit, I know. But to be fair, this guy's been injured for kind of quite a long time now. He's not had regular football, but he goes on there. He gives you 100%, okay? He doesn't let you down. Okay, final ball at times isn't great. But when he, you know, unless he gets game time, the final ball is not going to be great. So people expect, I think people expect way too much of a guy, you know, who's had a hell of a lot of injury problems. And to be fair, when he first came to us, some of the crosses he put in, you know, there was a lot of good in there as well as a little bit of bad.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's like you say, the crosses that he overhit, I think the one against Blackpool, that was an overhit cross and it led to a goal. So sometimes, you know, the small things can lead to the bigger chances. And like you say, needs game time. It's another body Emery can call on. And, you know, we're not non-league. We're still Arsenal. He's obviously got some ability to be able to get picked. I'd like to know where El Nene was tonight, actually. I don't think he even made the bench, did he? So
he's injured.
He's definitely one of those players that is at the club that is going to be expecting first-team football. He's going to be quite happy to be a squad player and where needed. Yeah, like El Nene is, we need players like that at the club.
And if we get an offer for him, we'll probably flog him for a couple of million, and you know that's that. So
when he was at West Ham in his first loan, that first season, he had two seasons until they sent him back. He did really well for those. A lot of the West Ham fans were really happy with him, and he played most of the season. So I think people laughing at him is a little bit bit mean. He's a professional footballer, and he's done it, and he's played what, best part of 70 games for Arsenal.
He's probably, like, let's be honest, okay, you know, you can take the mickey as much as you want out of Jenkinson, but he's on what, 50 grand a week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who's the one who's laughing? Yeah. Oh, sorry about that. By the way, Yvonne Okorfa, thank you very much. She's kicked it off already. I've got to post this T-shirt to you. I'm sorry, Yvonne. I've bonkers couple of weeks at work. I do apologise. There's a T-shirt coming out to you this weekend. You are our favourite, Bannon. I'm sorry to everybody else, but Yvonne rocks it for us. And
well, she would have got it sooner if I'd just give you the money from the podcast funds to pay for postage, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they? They'd have been at 80.
No. The UK ones I'd going to cover. Don't worry about that. But
can't just post them out willy nilly.
Yeah, no, it's the Canadian. I've got some ones to send abroad.
Oh, which is bugger those bloody Canadians.
In any case, Dan. Yes. Going on. Thank you, Yvonne. You're a rock star. We absolutely love you. You're superb. Mkhitaryan and Smith Rowe, first 20 minutes, they looked lively, didn't they?
Well, I think they were just getting the temperature of the team. They probably saw that we hadn't put out our strongest team. I mean, all the way through the game, I thought they haven't come here to play the game. They haven't come here to have a nice attacking football. They've got a caretaker manager. They sat their other manager. The team, the players have attacked the team. Most of the team have wanted to bugger off. They're a team on their arse, and they can't afford to come here try and play attractive attacking football like they could do in their feeder pony league. And so they've come in and gone, well, we don't want to lose. We can't lose because our fans will kill us. So we're just going to get stuck in, because like all of us, if we were playing Barcelona or Real Madrid or one of those as glory teams. And if we had someone, one of our players, going out there and getting stuck in and kicking and punching and fouling people all the time, we'd be loving it because we know we're not going to beat them. All we can do is go out there and stop them from playing. And that's what they did. And for the first 20 minutes, like you said, they were really up for it. And although they didn't really have look at any point that I can really remember in the first 20 minutes when I thought they were going to score, they did have 5-6 chances, possibly maybe one or two on target, but there was not a single thing about that team that I thought was any good. They were shit.
No, they didn't really threaten. But Chris, you know, we saw a few moves where we saw some really nice interplay. You had Guendouzi and Rambo linking up for a Welbeck effort, which I think would have been an own goal, but it dropped nicely for the keeper. You saw sparks there, didn't you? You saw, you know, the potential of what this Europa Cup side could produce, but it, ultimately it kind of came to nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it's so hard, isn't it, to find anything out of today to really focus on. But yeah, there were some bright spots. There was, I can't think of a really clear cut chance that we created. Not like other, you know, maybe the free kick. There was the one that flashed across the box and nobody went for. Really can't think of anything that was really clear cut. Their goalkeeper, I thought, played quite well, but not in terms of shot stopping, just in terms of reading the play. And he held a lot. He held a lot of balls he could, and he punched away the rest. Jeremy Mathieu even looked like a competent centre half tonight, which is saying something. So
yeah, a bit of a drop for him. Did he come from Barcelona to there, or did he come via somewhere else?
No, he went from Barca, but he was never ever Barca level. He was like big Tommy from Ireland. I mean, he was a stopgap signing. He's not terrible, to be fair, but he's not elite level. And Quartez didn't make it at Liverpool, did he? So no, I did think they defended pretty well. Give them credit, but and you know, like, you've got one of those games where You kind of, it must be, I know this sounds ridiculous to say this because they're paid professionals, but it must be hard to motivate yourself for a game where you basically know you're through, you're at home, you know the opposition aren't going to cause you any threat at all. And there's obviously the injury, which we'll come on to. I just think it was a bit flat overall. And it was one of those nights, if we'd have scored early, we probably would have got a hatful.
But it's difficult, isn't it? We controlled the game. We controlled the game right up to the final third. You can see in the chat box here, Rambo getting pelters as usual. I don't know what game you're watching. You're talking shite, people. You know, we controlled the game right up until the final third. And because we couldn't get that clear-cut ball going or that final run in, you know, we didn't create that final chance, did we? We just weren't quite at it in the box, and it was so frustrating.
It's very annoying. You'd expect more. You'd have thought the moment that Welbeck went off and Aubameyang come on, different.
We're going to come to Welbeck in a second. Okay. Wait for that. But
no, I mean, you were saying that they weren't up for it, but then that's because you've got a mixture of youth players, reserve players, and the fringe of the first team players, and a couple of first team players. When you see one of our best players coming on, you thought, right, that's it. Everyone's got up their game. We're going to score 5 or 6 or 3 or 2, but no, disappointing. Yeah,
but whichever flank we went down, Chris, whether it's Iwobi or whether it's Mkhitaryan, I just think Lacazette's become so important to us. That movement, that holder play, we just couldn't get anything. We just couldn't get that spark going, could we?
No, we didn't. And I know, I think maybe something that we might try and fudge a conversation out of a bit later on, because we haven't got a lot to talk about. But I know Steve and a couple of our other guys are not really sold on Mkhitaryan. I'm one that is. I think he's a quality player, but I don't think we're playing him in the right position to be able to get the best out of him. And Iwobi, I thought Iwobi's touches and is he's definitely found a level of speed this season that he didn't have last year. I think he's
confident, sort of, isn't
it? Yeah,
he's confident.
He's got that ability now to push the ball and go, which he didn't have last year. He's overrunning things. So that was fine. Weirdly, it was sort of an Ozil game tonight. It was that you needed that player just to pick that hole, and we didn't really have that. And sort of Smith Rowe was playing half forward, half number 10, half wide. When Maitland-Niles come on, we lost even more shape down that one side. We changed the fullbacks. It was just a bit of it was just a bit all over the shop and lots of jigsaw pieces without really building a puzzle.
Now, Chris has raised a point there, Dan. You haven't got Hector. You haven't got, you know, a recognised left back. I mean, Jenks has just come back from injury. What's this? His third second or third game? You know, so that natural width that Hector and sort of Nacho or Kolasinac would give you down the side as well. That's another contributing factor to, I think, you know, not creating those great chances that, you know, we have over the last couple of games created some beautiful chances, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. And then when we had Kolasinac come on and Maitland-Niles come on at right back, I thought, here we go. The last however long, what time do they come on at? Kolasinac 60, Maitland-Niles 74. So I thought, here we go. With Aubameyang up front and maybe Iwobi, like you were saying, was a bit quiet. Mkhitaryan, I thought he had a half-decent game. He got stuck in a few times, but we bought those two on, got a bit more extra width, but the rest of the team just wasn't ticking. There was, maybe they were, like the players who are first-team players are going, I don't want to go try too hard because these fuckers are going to injure me. And the players that are, on the, that are in the first, that are coming up to the first team are going, well, I really want to try and get to the first team by showing how well a player I am with all the other players. But then they're just not getting the chances. And you saw the amount of times that, like, someone raked down the back of Ramsey's leg. The referee just let him away with it. People getting barged out of the way.
Yeah.
You're thinking, well, we don't need to win this game. It's not a cup final. All we need is a point. Like now we've qualified. These players won't have to play in the next two games, most of these. And then that's all that's needed from the game. Maybe if we'd have been 1-0 down, we would have seen more from those players. They'd have tried a little bit more. Maybe the manager even said to them, go out there, as long as we don't lose. Not that the manager ever says that, but maybe if we, as long as we don't lose, we're okay. So yeah. You never know, but they weren't up for it. I mean, they were about as up for it as the crowd was halfway through the game.
I don't know. Well, you know, you look at the, try to find out the possession stats for me, Dan. Please.
Yeah, it was 70% to us, 30 to them.
It kind of says it all, doesn't it? You know,
you could tell with Aubameyang, I thought was really interesting as well. Albeit nobody expected what happened to Welbeck to happen, but he never looked like a player who expected to play tonight. Do you know what I mean? Like, you could tell that he was on the bench in case of emergencies, like Torreira.
Right, actually, let's come to that now, okay? The Welbeck injury. Chris, he's really brave. He throws himself at the challenge. He lands awkward. The impact with the centre-half. And you just saw he was in distress straight away. Wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't like being one of those sort of like, oh yeah, I don't like being one of those, oh, I saw that as soon as I saw it, I thought, but I did, basically.
We were talking about the group, weren't we?
Yeah.
You know, straight away.
It was the angle he came down that I didn't
see it. I've got no idea what happened.
Good.
I thought what he'd done initially was that he'd gone up for the header, And he'd come down and put all his weight on one leg. And I said to Dom, I thought he might have broken his ankle. It still might be a break or ankle leg. I'm not sure. But it's sort of the fall and then his leg goes almost the wrong way as he tries to get out. But it was just one of those that as soon as he hit the deck and at the angle he went, I mean, yes, you saw the players' faces and you knew from that, but It just looked bad, and I know it's the biggest cliche going, but you know, not that type of player to stay down. That old argument, you know, if that was Nani, you'd probably just laugh and play on. But you knew that when he went down, that it was very serious, and
you could see the reaction of Ramsey. You could see
then
it panned to Guendouzi, and you could see his face, and he just thought, "Oh no!"
What does Dom have to say about this? Because Dom is usually on every time.
I'm not going to go back into the group, but it kind of looks like a break and a dislocation of some sort. Okay?
Fucking hell!
Yeah, it's just horrific. But the really worrying part was the fact they were giving him oxygen on the pitch. You know, it was more the protocols that the medical team went through. You knew at that point, this guy's in agony because Danny Welbeck, you know, this guy has had more bad luck with injuries than most, you know. And he's not a moaner. He's not a diver. He's not a guy who rolls about.
See, all I saw was him laying on a stretcher being taken off. And I thought, hey, he looks all right. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. He doesn't look like this. He's not in pain or anything.
He's gone for the season, mate. He's gone for the season. If that is what it is.
I think he's gone from our... I think that will be that. Because if it's... I mean, again, Dom would be a better person well, I mean, we're all experts after the event, but when the news comes out, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was sort of a double type of fracture, you know, one of those, yeah, a bit like Ramsey's, you know, the whole sort of double break. But you just feel for him because you wouldn't wish any player to be injured. It's silly to say so, but of all the players, you know, he was doing a good job. He's clearly very well liked around the changing room, and it's just heartbreaking. And it does also, and this is being very selfish, talking about the club in his injury, it leaves us with a massive problem now in the Europa League because, yeah, we've qualified, so the next two games, great. We don't, you know, we could put Danny up front; it wouldn't matter now. Mm-hmm. But in, you know, when it comes to January, we are now going to have to say, right,
it's you've got to look at it. It's an opportunity for Nketiah.
Okay. Well, this is it, but he hasn't played, has he? This is the thing, you know.
He's going to get chances now. But the bottom line is, you know, you look at Danny Welbeck, you look at the effort he puts in on the pitch. You know, people can say what they want, but this guy has scored important goals for us over the years. He's, you know, he'll give you 100% every game. He doesn't hide. He keeps on running those channels. He keeps on doing everything a good pro should. You know, Danny Welbeck's won the Champions League. Danny Welbeck's won the title. You know, this guy is a quality player. He may not be as effective as Aubameyang and Lacazette at the moment. He's got a good goal return so far this season, hasn't he?
Mm, yeah, and he's one of those reliable players that you can put on for 10, 15 minutes, even in Premier League games where it is at the top level, because, like you said there, you reeled off the experience he's got.
And playing any position across the front four.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not sure whether they will trust Nketiah. I've got this sort of feeling now
scored a couple of goals last night.
Yeah, but sometimes a manager fancies a player, and I'm not sure whether Emery does. I mean, hopefully he does, and you know, I hope he does all right. But I can't help but think that maybe one of Lacazette and Aubameyang, probably the latter, is going to be played in the second stage now. I mean, to be fair, when we're in the second stage, we probably should be playing stronger lineups because it's a competition
it's a competition we're going to target, let's be honest, because it's Champions League football.
Yeah.
Okay. And the financial returns of Champions League football mean you're going to target that game, this competition. You know, to anybody thinking we're not taking this competition seriously, you know, you need to take a long, hard look. It's one of those competitions which give, you know, the financial rewards of Champions League, look how it's hurting us. Look how it's hurt us the last couple of seasons. It's one of those things we have to do. Dan, the reaction from the team, you know, we knew these guys, they watched a guy who's so popular in the dressing room have a really horrific injury. But, we were straight on the attack, but then it kind of fizzled out a little bit, didn't it? It definitely took its toll on the rest of the first half.
Yeah, I didn't realise how bad the injury was, but now that you two have explained it, and I've just had a look at The Guardian and read a little bit on there, you do, when in football, when things like that happened, I'm not going to list the players, we all know when these big injuries have happened, it does really affect the moral of the team. And often the team goes on for the rest of that game and it just does, nothing happens. And that seems to be what happened tonight, because you don't want to see that happen to one of your mates. And yeah, like you were saying, it did seem to... The crowd were quite subdued after it. The players seemed to be a bit subdued, and it all makes sense now.
Yeah. Chris, going back to your original point, there's no way Aubameyang's expecting to come on at that point. It's a real shock to the system, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. And it's not only you're almost tucked up, ready to not play, and you don't expect, because I think they probably would have brought Nketiah on, especially knowing they were qualified. I think if Welbeck had been fine, it probably would have been about 65, 70 minutes. Or, you know, if they got 2-0 up, they probably would have brought Nketiah on, and that would have been that. So I think Alba and Torreira and Mustafi were all on the bench for emergency purposes only. And it turned out we had to use Alba. And yeah, he didn't look, I don't know, he just didn't look at it. And it's almost a bit representative of him at the moment, which maybe if we get time, I'll touch on that in a bit, but it's a different point. But yeah, he wasn't, I wouldn't say he wasn't up for it, because obviously he's a professional, but he just didn't quite look sharp. It looked like a game that he just wasn't mentally ready.
It had a bit of a feeling like when a goalkeeper comes on, no one was expecting and they weren't ready.
Pretty much.
It was a difficult one, wasn't it? It really was. Dan... We'll go to the second half. We come out the second half where we come out of the blocks quite quickly. Aubameyang has a chance. There's some nice interplay between Lichtenstein and Ramsey and Mkhitaryan. We were unlucky, but it was a beautiful move. We seemed as if we were at it. Then Jenko skied another one. We weren't, again, you know, it's pretty football. We're having a go, but we're not quite there, are we?
It sums it all up when you look at the fact that we had 14 shots on goal. We had 10 off target, 2 on target. And of all of our players who had shots on goal, Abu had 4. And when your second top number of shots was Lichtsteiner, your right back, with 2, Welbeck had 2 and Smith Rowe had 2. But the people that you would expect him to be having shots is going to be Mkhitaryan, Iwobi, like Smith Rowe, maybe even, I mean, Ramsey playing. If you'd have said before the game, Ramsey's going to start the entire game, quite an attacking team, what do you expect from him? Against a team like that, I'd say, well, I'd have hoped he'd maybe get a goal, maybe an assist that we definitely win. So it was hard on everybody.
He's playing a deeper role today. Mm. He's playing that Xhaka role.
Smith Rowe was playing that role.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. You know, you're looking at.
He's not a number 10, is he, Jace?
I'm not going to even think. By the way, John Welsh just put in the box, Danny, it's morale, not moral.
Well,
he's
moral.
The last question, I'm leaving that there.
What John, about fucking morals, dirty trumpet.
John Welsh corrected the grammar. I love it. It's great.
First we lose against a load of nearly lose against a load of morons, and then John's telling me how to say things correctly.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's from Essex. What do you know, Chris? You know, we're playing nice stuff. But we're ineffectual in the final third. You know, we've spoken about different fullbacks. We've spoken about, you know, kind of pretty football, but not being effective. But, you know, sometimes I don't think the movement was quite up to standard. Too many runs not followed through. And just some poor decision making, wasn't there?
Yeah. I think the way you've said it there is pretty much sums it up perfectly. Like I say, there was no cutting edge. I thought when Aubameyang came on, I thought maybe that was his opportunity, not to fill his boots, but I thought it's probably an opportunity for him to get himself a couple of goals here and, you know, get himself ready to go for the weekend again. But it just, it's like I said before, it just wasn't enough going on in front. The movement wasn't brilliant. You know, there was a few even just trivial things like misplaced passes. They were just that yard short or just that 2 yards further to the left or the right. Do you know what I mean? It was just one of those that the longer it went, the more you thought we're either going to nick this 1-0 or it's going to be one of those. Weirdly, the game in Portugal was similar. Strangely,
yeah, they are a good, decent team historically, and they are one of the big three in Portugal. And it's not like they're some Azerbaijani team that no one's ever heard of. So
they're not Fida League, are they?
We've beat them 1-0 at theirs and 0-0 at ours. That's all we needed. So we're not going to look back on this in years to come with any kind of "oh, that was terrible." We're going to go from here. We got through. So what? Group stage, well, pointless.
The horrific part of it is the injury side of it, isn't it? You know, that's the harsh part of this for the club at the moment. You know, we're giving people minutes, we're keeping the fitness levels going, we're through to the next round. I mean, I don't know what's happened in Vorskla or whatever it is, but, you know, we're never not going to qualify for this, for the knockout stages. But the big thing is here, you know, it's an opportunity for people to get confidence, to sort of to formulate those, you know, the style of play that Unai wants from us. Yet, you know, it's just one too many changes in important areas like full back, which kind of affects the team. Chris?
Yeah, I'm struggling to add to that. I mean, I completely agree. I think that I wonder if the change for Jenkinson to bring on Kolasinac, I wonder if that was a sign to try and get the fullbacks pushed on a bit more, because we had the overlaps, but again we weren't attacking down those sides enough. yeah, I mean, I genuinely struggled to add to what you said there, really. I think that was the area we could have got at them. And also, with 20 minutes to go, they sat in, didn't they? They knew exactly what they were there for.
And this is the thing, as Danny says, they're an experienced outfit. You know, they played in Europe for many years.
Arts of the Dark Arts.
And
a result away from home was good for them as well. Let's not forget that they're still, you know, we might have been home and dry. They were still trying to qualify tonight. They probably would have known what the score was in the other game. They knew what they had to do. At halftime, I think Carrier Bag were one up on Tesco. So they, you know, they knew second half that if they got a point, they would be almost through. And so it's proven. So, you know, they didn't need to come out. And that is the way of the modern world in terms of teams that come to our ground when we've beaten them away. They are going to sit in.
Absolutely. Dan, how many shots on target did Sporting have, mate?
They had in total five shots at goal, none on target, two off target, three were blocked. And their top one was Diaby with two.
I think that kind of tells a tale, doesn't it?
Fucking bothered.
It tells a tale of how this game went, unfortunately.
Tackles, 13-8 to them.
Yeah. To be fair, they defended very well. They were well organised, and they came to frustrate.
Well, if we would have had to go away to Sporting and all we needed was a point to get through to the next round, and then our team would have played like theirs, we'd be applauding them, wouldn't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Right, okay. 143 people in this chat box. 143 of you. Everybody's got an opinion. Oh, yeah, you've all got opinions, haven't you? You've got loads of opinions.
But what don't they have, Jace?
Likes. They don't have likes.
Fuckers.
What do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? You come in here, you take our free content. Yeah, that's great. Yvonne's always there. She's tapping away. She's doing the job, okay? I've only got 42 likes. 42 effing likes. Now, you know, I'm not being funny, okay? I'm not. But let's get something straight. If that doesn't hit 80, too sweet, there is going to be trouble, okay? There's going to be real fucking trouble. Now get going. Let's go. We're up to 57. That's still short. That's not good enough. I don't know what you think you're playing at, okay? Don't come in here with a fucking opinion, okay? If you're not going to give me a like, right? Because I don't want to hear it. Now get on. Get going. Thank you. Right, back to the show. Chris, it's nice to have you back on.
Thanks.
Sorry, I can't keep a straight face doing these routines anymore. It's gone. It's just gone, okay? Right, okay. So then we have Lichtsteiner pull up with a hammy. But just when you think it couldn't get any worse.
Yeah, that's not ideal, particularly as I see Monreal is nearly back to full fitness. It's like we get one back, we lose another one. Yeah, it's not ideal. I know a few people have said, oh, well, he's past it, he shouldn't be in the squad, blah, blah, blah. Make no mistake about it. I've heard from somebody very well placed who works in and around Arsenal in the media basis, and it's not Simon, that Lichtsteiner has a huge effect on the squad as a whole behind the scenes. He's working very closely with the management staff. So Emery's like Carlos Caicedo and Juan Carlos Caicedo and the people that are working with the squad. He works quite closely, which suggests to me that he's the sort of guy that one day you might see him in a Mertesacker Lundberg role. You know, he looks like the sort of guy who'd want to coach. So he plays a massive part. And obviously, being injured, that's not going to change. But he is the sort of player you'd love to be able to turn to with 10 to 15 minutes to go. And it is a blow because that's another player we don't have backup. And arguably, Big Jenks, Big Bantasaurus, will probably look at that and think, well, I got a chance here because, you know, Lichtsteiner can play both sides. Monreal can only play left side. Kolasinac can only play left side. And obviously, Maitland-Niles only left side. And then you've got Hector on the right. So
Maitland-Niles has played right back for us before.
Well, yeah, true. But, yeah.
Playing are two different things, though, Jason.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Hey, look,
You're not going to shout at me, are you? Because if you are, I'm going to cry. John's already bullied me twice, once about my glasses and then about my mispronunciation.
You deserved it.
I do.
But one of the things is, you know, I think Maitland Niles, you know, he's not a natural defender. He's a natural midfield player. I think, you know, whenever he's been called upon in any fullback position, I think he's acquitted himself quite well. Do you know what I mean? The errors that he makes are errors any midfielder would make in those positions. But whenever he comes in, he plays the natural confidence and conviction to do the best job he possibly can. And, you know, it's good to see him back on the pitch today, to be fair. But I do agree with you, Chris. I think Rick Steiner, I think his attitude, his nous, his general, you know, his knowledge of the game and just the way he's up and at people and he's in and around people and just imparting knowledge. I think we're going to miss that. Thankfully, we'll have it on the training pitch, you know, or around the club.
We've got lucky, as well, haven't we, with injuries this season? And all of a sudden, it feels like we're not. Do you know what I mean? It is all of a sudden like this winter time, and we've just got, because we had the Monreal injury seemed to come out of nowhere. We had the Bellerin scare.
Long for a little bit longer as well than we expected.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, the Bellerin scare was a scare. Thankfully, he seems to be okay. You know, looks like if that is a hammy, as Dom will tell you, that's sort of between 3 and 6 weeks, depending on the severity. You know, we've lost Welbeck probably for good now. If not, you know, he's not going to get a new contract, so probably is done for good.
Did I read that that club has said Koscielny can go at the end of the season?
There's a lot of reports from some very reputable sources like Goal.com and and the Daily Racist and papers like that. So I don't.
They're not letting stuff out nowadays, are they?
No, I think because it's going to be. I mean, he's back in the group now, isn't he? In full training. I think these Europa games now actually are ideal for Koz, because it will mean he might be able to get two games, and Emery will probably make his own mind up. One thing I do know though is we are one more defensive injury away from being in a real problem, because Holding's playing every game. Mustafi and Sokratis hopefully are being rotated a bit now. But we don't want to be losing any more players to injury.
Look, let's be honest, okay? Before I go into this point, I got 64 likes. That's not 80. Come on, tappy. Let's get the dragon going.
Don't poke the dragon.
It's disgraceful. I've got an opinion, but I'm going to like, have I? No. Come on.
The only opinion you've got is you don't like likes. That's the only opinion like that's coming across.
Sorry. But, you know, the way I've heard people talk this season, Mavropanos is all of a sudden the second coming of Jesus. Okay, he's got 3 appearances for us in the Premier League, and he got sent off once. You know? Now he's a kid. Okay, this kid has to have time to develop. And as harsh as I am on Koscielny, that pace he brings to a back four, you can't afford to just throw it away. You're not going to just let him go. If people are making decisions when he hasn't kicked the ball this season about his future at the club, unless you're bringing in Virgil van Dijk, forget it. You know, we're not going to chuck around the money. You know, we're just not going to do it. You know, Sokratis, he's been a lot better than I thought he would be. He's not a long-term solution to this defence. How old is he now, Chris? 30?
I think he's 31. I'll say one thing. I did think he came back in and looked good tonight. I'll say that. I mean, I know it wasn't against the strongest opposition.
Yeah, come on now. Yeah. They didn't cross the halfway line, Chris, okay?
He made a really good
challenge on the halfway line, to be fair to him.
Yeah.
He made a really good challenge on the halfway line.
Do you know what I like about him that I watched the overall performance?
His thighs.
Actually, weirdly, you're not far away. I love his physicality. I love the fact that he invites the players. There was one, he was shepherding the ball out of play, I think it was, and he just shoves his hip into somebody.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Yeah, and I really like that, because we haven't, you know, even in our, you know, even in the sort of the good days, I think Kolo Touré is the last defender or defensive type player that I can remember really liking physical contact, you know, body on body. A lot of these defenders nowadays, modern days, they sit off or they try and nip in front. He likes the striker to get the ball, and then he likes to go through people or push them to the side. And his reading of the game is very, very good. And I think that's why that they like him playing with Mustafi, because Mustafi is almost the opposite of that and likes to either win a ball in front or sit off, and holding similar. So, I'm not saying he played against Messi tonight. He didn't. But for a guy who's been out for nearly a month, I thought he looked pretty settled.
He can only play what he's played in front and played against. You know, you can only play what's in front of you, sorry. And he's done a good job tonight. You know, there's a lovely challenge on the halfway line. And, you know, let's hope he keeps on surprising me and keeps on proving me wrong. You know, that'd be great. Formunoza says here, isn't Cause 33 now? He may be 33, but he's the quickest centre-half we got other than Mavropanos. Because Mavropanos is pretty quick, isn't he, Chris?
Yeah.
And that experience, he's going to play a part in it. We are going to have injuries. So I can't see us just letting a player go without him even having been part of the setup this season. It just doesn't make sense to me. I just think it's a little bit of lunacy. Dan, you know, with Lichtsteiner going off, Maitland-Niles comes on. It kind of robbed Eddie Nketiah of 20 minutes, unfortunately. But really good to see Maitland-Niles come back in the team, isn't it?
Yeah, we don't really want Eddie Nketiah to be playing games because he played midweek yesterday, it might have been, and we won 3-1 away at possibly Cheltenham. So in the Trekkochay Trophy, we're now through to the next round because we beat Coventry, lost 6-2 to another team and won that. So normally for that team, it's John Jules from Ministry of Sound Party. But he played up front with Nketiah last night, because Nketiah has always been in the first team squad, so hasn't been getting the game time and the goals that he would have been, that he should be getting at his age, because it's spread out over the under eight, because John Jules is only 17 and he's playing for the under 23s, the under 21s, and there's a lot of players playing in way ahead of their time. And so it's probably good for Nketiah that he didn't come on today, because you don't really want a player playing two games in 2 days. So that may have, for him, it's probably a good idea, but we do need to see the likes of Nketiah getting more game time against top-rated first-team competitions like the League Cup and then possibly the FA Cup, depending on who we get, and definitely the Europa League. And I think the next two games, we will definitely see him playing up front. I don't want to see Mkhitaryan. I don't want to see anybody who's played for regularly in the first team playing in the Europa League in the last two games. I don't care about the winning run. The winning run is unimportant when it comes to that. Just go and let the other players get out there and play, because we're not really going to lose against
Vorskla and Karabag.
Yeah, and Vorskla, yeah. So it doesn't really matter. Although it'd be nice to carry on the run. It's 15 games in a row now. It would be kind of good if that run has to end. It ends by losing a Europa League game if we have to, rather than losing it some other way. Because once that starts to get 20, 25 games unbeaten, then that's when the pressure is going to be on to maintain the run, isn't it?
Bleeds in as well, doesn't it, the form? I mean, I know people say, oh well, you know, Europa's different to the leagues, different size, blah blah blah, but it is true. You can, I mean, look at sort of Man United, the lift they'll get off what they got last night. You know, I know it's a different competition, but facts are facts. We've now drawn our last three games, whereas we have been winning every game. I'm not saying crisis, sack the manager, hang the boards. I'm just saying that, you know, we've got, make no mistake, a tough Wolves side on Sunday. That will not be easy.
But then a nice international break after for everybody to get a rest. Because exactly. Then we're fighting on so many fronts, the league, the Europa League, and the League Cup, and the Trekkochay Trophy, which is stealing our younger players.
Yeah, so I mean, it would be good to just keep the momentum going. And and it would also be a boost for those kids as well. You know, you don't want to... I always liken it to the game in Panathinaikos when we played there, and
where everybody got one and only game for Arsenal.
And I'll never forget, like, Luis Bermorse scored, they all did like a bum wiggle celebration on the edge of the penalty box. But I liken it to that. Give the kids a go and let them play, but you don't just want to throw them out to hang. You know, you still want them to express themselves, but you maybe still have to splice it with a few experienced players.
Well, yeah, I think if you look at Emery's sort of tactics in Europa League this season, that, you know, there's one or two youngsters and there's a lot of experience in the side. You know, you look at the players who played in Europa League this season, I think all the big guns have, you know, at one point or another. This is his bedding in period for the style of football he wants to play. He's finding out a lot about the players now. You know, we're only are we 17 games into the season? You know,
exactly. 15. They lost the first two, then 15 unbeaten. Yeah.
So you know, what's going to be a kind of 60 game season, roughly, hopefully. You know, so you know, you're not even a third of the way through the season, and this guy, his tenure is built on the building blocks he puts in place here.
Also, guys, we've used 24 different players already this season in all competitions.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is a lot.
It's just life, isn't it? It's just life as a Premier League team nowadays.
Okay, this is the first game this season Trevor hadn't played in.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we'll play that.
I thought that, would you? I thought he missed the first few of the season, but he didn't. He was playing Cameron the sub, didn't he?
Exactly. Well,
I'm
done, Dan.
Shut up now.
Yeah, you best add. Thank you.
Oh,
68 likes, people. Little reminder. Just 68. It's not 80, is it? No, it's not.
I got one thing I want to bring up, Chase. If you're out of subjects.
No. I'm coming to you with the last couple of things in the game, and then we're going to come to your point.
Okay.
So we see a Mkhitaryan effort not at the target. As Danny said, we had, was it 14 shots on target, or was it 10 on target, Dan?
I think we had 12, and 12, eight, sorry, and he had two. No, we had 14. Yeah, you're right. We had 14, and Mkhitaryan had one, and
So, you know, frustrating again. But then Aubameyang is hauled down by Matia, and the red card is brandished. Straight red for you, Chris?
Yeah, I think it was. It obviously meant nothing. Especially with that awful free kick that followed. Arguably, it was a shame that Albert didn't stay on his feet, because I think he had a better chance of scoring than he did with a free kick. But yeah, no, it was unfortunate. It was almost an apologetic walk-off from Matthew, because I think he knew. But yeah, it's difficult to argue any other way, really.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's the game. Chris, on to your point, mate.
Well, it's kind of a double-barreled one, so maybe I'll save the Ilba one maybe for another day. As soon as we got you, I'll ask you. I want to ask you, how do you solve a problem like Aaron Ramsey? And what I mean by that is I watched his performance tonight, and I thought in large spells he was pretty decent, to be fair. You know, in truth, he never lets us down. But I'm uncomfortable with the idea of this end of the season going on a free thing. Now, I know he's going. I think even you, through tears flying down your face, have accepted the fact he is going to go. But if that decision is made and that is 100% final, I think we have to try and open the offers or open the door in January, because
Chris, the first problem you've got is Man United came in with a £50 million offer in the summer. We didn't sell. Okay.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean, that's...
We didn't sell. Okay. Liverpool was sniffing around in the summer. We didn't sell.
But do you reckon that was more to do with that we were transitioning a manager and we didn't want to say, okay, we're flogging for the manager?
No. Apparently, it was all Ivan, Sven, and Tusfani, or whatever his name, and Raul, sorry, at that time. Now Ivan's gone, Sanjehi has pulled the contract. Whatever the rights and wrongs of the negotiations, I hear a lot of talk about what's happening in negotiations. I didn't realise so many people were in the room with the agents and Raul and Husfani. I just didn't. You know, I thought there's a lot of people claiming to know exactly what's going on, when, let's be honest, they're talking bollocks. You're not going to sell him. If the club have withdrawn the offer, and I'm Aaron Ramsey, and I'm thinking, I've given you 10 years of my life, I'm your all-time leading central midfield scorer. I think it's all-time leading central midfielder scorer ever. In the club, okay? I've won you two FA Cups off my boots, and now you're withdrawn, you know, you're not even going to negotiate. Why am I going to agree to go for a fee when I can get a signing-on fee? Because his agent was probably talking to other clubs beforehand anyway, you know, when it came down to the final year, as a bit of leverage. Why are you going to turn down a signing-on fee for the club to regain anything? If you look at what happened with Sanchez last season, okay, we got Mkhitaryan because United wanted rid. And United ended up having to pay Sanchez, was it £500,000 a week? Or whatever it is.
Yeah, not far right off.
So all of a sudden, you know, that's the only reason Sanchez went, was because the money was right that end. I know. If you're Aaron Ramsey, Chris, are you going to allow the club who no longer want you? And you know, look, if he's not part of Emery's plans, that's fine. Emery has a style of football that he has to, you know, get this club playing, because it's all down to him now. His job relies on whatever happens on the pitch, okay? And there were always going to be casualties here. And whether it's Ramsey, whether it's Lacazette, whether it's Aubameyang, it doesn't really matter. You know, the club goes on. You know, so, but if it's you in that position, Chris, what are you going to do? Are you going to be agreed to be sold? Or are you going to wait for the signing on fee and pick the club you want to go to?
Chase, and two, three, some numbers as put in here. Was Ramsey's performance tonight or any game this season worth £250,000 a week?
No, it's not a good point.
That's a terrible point. No offense, that's a bullshit point. Okay? First and foremost,
we can't judge tonight. No way.
Yeah, we controlled the whole game tonight up until the final third.
Mm.
Naomi Kayo, get the fuck out of my chat box, you scumbag. You go, you don't ever fucking come back, okay? You are scum. Sorry about that. Every listening thing, I'm not having racists in this scum, in this chat box. You don't come in here. We don't want you. Leave. Don't come back. Thank you.
Well, sorry about that. Coming back. We banned them.
Yeah, exactly. Not having that shit. So you know. So where do you go with that, Chris? If you were in that position, what do you do?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I'm not saying. Yeah, as I say, make it clear, I'm not disputing his commitment or his ability or his effort or any of that. I'm just saying that I know he's on the bench at the moment, so I suppose we're not relying on him, but I just have a concern that we're relying on a player who knows his future is elsewhere. And I wouldn't blame him if his,
but,
you know.
But the club have done this again, Chris, okay? You know, we had last season where it was all about Sanchez and Ozil, okay? It was all about Sanchez and Ozil last season. One left, one stayed on, was it £400,000 or £350,000, whatever he's on, okay? But are you telling me, you know, we talk about what a performance is worth, okay? Rambo last season contributed to 20 goals, right? 20 goals. He was there through thick and thin. This is a guy who's never hidden in the shirt. We controlled the game tonight up until the final third, yet still he gets grief, okay? Now, if you can pick a fault in his game tonight, it was the ball in the corner where he's tried to be clever and it hasn't come off.
Tried to do too much almost, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And now, are you telling me that that didn't happen to Iwobi, it didn't happen to Mkhitaryan, it didn't happen to Aubameyang?
Oh, no, it did.
You know, exactly. But bear with me. But there, yet it's being highlighted because it's Ramsey, yet the role Ramsey's playing tonight, the deep-lying play midfielder, he's spread the ball around all night. He's found runners, he's found players, yet we haven't capitalised on that further down up the pitch. Yet he's the one getting blamed. So which one, you know, what do you say to all that then? You know, the guy's given us 10 years service. When he goes, good luck to him, but, you know.
I guess I'm wondering if, because like people say, you know, like you say, if you're Ramsey, would you leave? But maybe the player himself thinks if he's still on the bench at January, and we get an offer from AC Milan or someone like that for, you know, it would literally be 10, 15 million. That's all you'd get. That's what I'm wondering. I'm just wondering if we should be.
No chance. Come on. I don't know. Are you going to turn down £20 million signing on fee?
Well, I'm not saying you would, but if you want to play every week, I don't know. It's just one that I'm. I can't decide which way I sit on it. As I say, I'm not knocking him at all because I know plenty of people do. I just concerned that a player in such a key position. This is hopefully the last one we've royally fucked up, but yeah, it's just a bit messy.
The last. Yeah, there are no more to fuck up, are there?
Are you joking? Come on, you know, we've got a history of this. Okay. And just because people all of a sudden think now that there's a different setup in the club, that things are going to change. This is the way football's going, you know, and we have to face facts that players are going to run down their contracts. What's going to happen to Mkhitaryan? Apparently, you know, at the end of his contract, if we re-sign him, we double his wages.
That's not happening. It's a bit like in the Bosman days when Jean-Marc Bosman, a Belgian third division player, he wanted to have the people might not know, but the gist of it was when your contract ran out, you used to sit in the reserves and rot at a club. They owned you, but then he took them to court and had them. If your contract runs out, you can go. So that where we all thought at the time, this is never going to work. They're never going to do that. They are doing it, and now this is the next stage in players doing whatever they want. If you don't give me the money, I'm going somewhere else, and someone else will give him the money.
Yeah, and
West Ham, look at the money they've given Jack. That he hasn't earned a penny of that. Jack was a terrible move for them. The games he played, he was rubbish, and now he's injured. Jason told everybody, and turns out he was right.
It's one of those, okay. Regardless of whichever you look at it, okay. I still think the club and his agent will meet again. And there will be talks, regardless of whatever. Okay. But, you know, at the moment, let's concentrate on the football. The team's evolving. Whatever's going to happen with Rambo is going to happen. He'll still play for Wales. I'll still be happy. It doesn't really matter. You know?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we look forward to seeing Aaron Ramsey in a Tottenham shirt next season to see how Jason really feels.
They can't afford anybody, can they? They can't afford electricians.
They can't afford a toilet.
Okay, Staz has put in there, will Rambo get a testimonial? He's had 11 full Premier League seasons where he's played games. And so maybe they don't
seem to work like that anymore, do they? I don't know.
Well, no one hardly does it, do they? They're only at a club for 6 months.
But let's be honest, you don't need a testimonial anymore, do you?
It's a dying art,
you
know, isn't it?
When you get the likes of
isn't it?
But when you get the likes of Jenko on 50 grand a week.
Tell Wayne Rooney that.
Yeah, you know, ridiculous.
Bradley Checker. I always supported the Arsenal.
I told him.
Don't get him started on that.
Don't get me started. Right, let's go to questions, is it, guys? Let's get this wrapped up for the night. Chris, this one's for you. Pete Coulson says, this is for Captain Chris. If that's my worst pirate accent ever. You can only buy one. And why? Nicola Barella of Cagliari or Nicolas Pepe of Lille? Ishmael Sarr of Rennes or Piotr Zielinski of Napoli? Which one?
Is that one from each of the pairings or one of the four?
One of the four. Because you're going to bowl me otherwise.
It's going to take you an hour to answer that one.
Well, no, because to be honest, I probably wouldn't say any of those are a priority. Barretta would be the one if you were, but we don't really need him. Pepe is one of the players I've watched a lot of. And he's vastly overhyped. I'm sorry. And anyone that says otherwise, unless you watch the amount of Ligue 1 I watch, then I'm just not taking you seriously. Sorry. I know that sounds arrogant, but trust me. Yes, he's good. Yes, he's talented, but he's raw. And there's a player at Leicester City called Rashid Ghazal. And I don't think he'd be any better than he's been if he came. So that'd be a warning to you all. If we could get him for about 15 million quid, fine, take a punt. But any people talk about 40 or 50 million, no chance. But yeah, Barretta is probably got the most promise. Zielinski, I think, is a player that we wouldn't use correctly. And I don't think Napoli would be looking to sell anyway. And the other one was, who was the other one? It was Ishmael Sarr.
Yeah.
I think he's the one that would be the best project because he's a young, he's a youthful, sort of flying, attacking wide forward. He's going to be very, very good. He's probably the next one off the production nine of Ligue 1. So we expect to see him in the Premier League next year. Arsenal may be a level above him. I think if you're going to sign a player like that, I'd rather go with Miguel Almiron at Atalanta, who we've been quite heavily linked with. I think he's more of a rounded player at 23, I think he is. A good question, but I just to nail my colours to the mask or the Pepe one, don't believe the hype just yet, I would say on that one.
Brilliant stuff. Chat box. I'm three likes short. get a grip and get tapping. Tappy, tappy, let's get going. Thank you. Danny, next Hello. Question's for you. Michael Hahnemann asks, using the Storm FM team account, what the hell asked for about?
That's what he works for.
Oh, does he?
Yes.
All right.
In Stevenage.
Mike. Right. Storm, does he have an accent when he does that? Hi, this is Mike of Storm FM.
Don't. Bye. They'll snap you up.
I doubt it very much.
Right, was that your phone sex voice? I think I recognise that. My mum played me a recording she had.
Hi, have you been involved in an accident?
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Welsh. This is Jason coming to you live from Cardiff. I'm here to give you sexy sounds into the early hours of the morning. Thank you and good night.
You just ruined me.
This is right there. I'm available for voiceovers if anyone needs them.
Hi, this is Chatterbait FM.
Jace, you've let it out of the bag there.
Danny doesn't like talking. He prefers the ladies on the TV, don't you, Danny?
I like to ask them stupid questions.
Did you see that meme I tagged you both in the other day? Name me a better partnership, and I put you two.
No.
I thought you were right. I thought you were bang on. I get a more natural smile, and Danny's got better boobs.
John's threatening to come on and sort us out if we don't fucking get on with it.
Yeah, we need to end this now. I got work in the morning. Right, Dan. Michael Hahnemann asks, do you think the Liverpool game affected us today? And the fact we put so much into the Liverpool game at the weekend, we kind of looked tired and a bit disjointed.
Well, looking at the team that played, only Holding and... Holding and Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang.
Yeah.
And Kolasinac for a little bit. No, not really. No, I mean, they did do a lot of running, but Aubameyang did come off against Liverpool, but they did run their arse off and they did have a bloody hard game. We've had a long... What day did we play that one? Was that Sunday afternoon or Saturday? No, Saturday.
Saturday.
No, they've had long enough. Get on with it. You've paid hundreds of thousands of pounds a week, you big Nancys. You should be playing every half hour. And Nketiah would have played 90 minutes back-to-back if you'd have let him. No.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue was the full backs and the fact that after the first 20 minutes, Smith Rowe kind of went off the boil as well. So all of a sudden, you know, he's on a massive learning curve at the moment as an 18-year-old, and he's finding his feet, and that's what these games are for. And, you know, we didn't quite link, and I think missing Lacazette is huge for us. I think that's really big. His performances this season have been top-notch. And it's so surprising, bearing in mind the feeder league that he comes from. I'm just shocked.
It's so boring, doesn't it, Chris?
If you'd like to hear people talking about French football with a sensible opinion, you can tune into French Football Weekly every week.
Whoa. Do you turn up for that one,
Chris?
I do. I host that one.
Oh, fucking hell. Well done. Yes.
It's with reputable pundits.
There you go. People who know what they're talking about. That's where you're going wrong, Jace.
Well, okay. What can I say? Chris,
start talking rugby, Jace. That's your expertise.
Excuse me, my expertise is the Arsenal. Mate.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah, I'm always right, other than Socrates at the moment.
Shh.
So let's wait and see. Yeah, never mention his name. Sorry, to be fair, listeners, Chris does get loads of grief every day in the group about the feeder league. If we don't mention it every day, you know, It's as bad as Rambo's ego. It's just terrible. What can I say? Chris, Block 4 Guna asks, okay, as the Xhaka and Torreira partnership is very good, what happens if one or both are out for long term?
We recall Nelson Vivas and change him into a central holding midfield. I'm probably the worst person to ask because I'm not actually sold on all this hype just yet. don't get me wrong, Jack has been better this season, and definitely he is a better player with Torreira in the side. I can't deny that at all. All I would say is if you said to me now you can have an upgrade on Xhaka, I would still take it 100% because I still don't really see. And I know a lot of people, and I love the Welsh man, not you, but Mr. Welsh. And he keeps telling me that, well, his pass 87 yards away started that move that led to the goal. Nah, not buying that. Any player can play a 5-yard pass, a 6-yard pass, a 10-yard pass, right, sideways, forwards, backwards. For me, the problem with Granit is I don't think he really suits the system we play in. And yeah, I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, did you not see him against Liverpool? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he's played very well. I'm not sitting here saying he's shit. He's clearly not. He's got better. I just like my midfields to be more mobile. And unfortunately, it doesn't matter how much coaching you give Granit, it's not going to make him more mobile. He is what he is. He's good at what he does. I would just prefer somebody a bit more mobile, which is personally why I think, you know, I would rather see a sort of a Guendouzi longer term. But for now, yeah, I mean, it's if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I guess if the person's asking the question, the person's asking is what we do without them. I mean, yeah, simply we would bring in Guendouzi. But if it's a longer term injury, well, let's not think about that given what's happened tonight.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Do you want to go over that one more time?
No.
Block for Guna. My apologies. That was a bag of crap.
I disagree with everything Chris has just said. Those midfield two duo are going to win us the title one day and win us.
That's stuff. Not the question. Listen to the question.
I know. People. I forgot what I tell you. So long ago, I can't remember the bloody question. Have you seen what Brendan's done?
No.
He's chucked us some dollary dues.
Oh, Brendan.
Another $10 dues.
Brendan.
Oh, bless him.
Brendan, you're a rock star. I think he only sent that to shut
Chris up.
Jesus.
It didn't work.
I'm not being funny, okay, you know. Dr. Barkey, behave, for crying out loud. Sorry, I'm not going to read that one out. Brendan Almeida rocks up with $10 again. Love your work, as always, lads. Keep it up. Thank you very much, Brendan. You're far too generous. You and Yvonne are, well, you know, you're rock stars. So thank you ever so much. We really, really appreciate it. Block for Guna. If they do both get injured, it's down to Emery to find a solution. It's his squad now. You know, you got Ramsey who'll play deeper. You've got Guendouzi. You've got Elneny who'll have to fit in. Maitland-Niles will come into that. You know, they just
more often.
Yeah, you know, they may go to a 4-3-3 to actually, you know, to get around it. Because I think Torreira's sort of defensive awareness has really, really, you know, allowed Xhaka to sort of have a bit more time on the ball. And because his feet are slightly slow, that's what's helped him improve. You know,
I know it's not a popular view, but just really quickly, yeah. If we had a spare 10, 15 million quid, which is really, imagine saying that, spare 10, 15 million quid, like it's down the sofa. I was really keen on us going in forever Banega in the summer. The amount of shithousery the team with Lichtsteiner, Torreira and Banega in would be quite the thing to see. I mean, you know, you talk about the George Graham days, that would be back to the bloody Chopper Harris days. But yeah, I he's a player I really like, and I think he would fit so, so well. But there is one other player, if you're talking about the Granit Xhaka situation or mobility, it's just suddenly come to my mind. At PSG, Emre had a chap called Giovanni Lo Celso, who's now on loan at Betis and is playing very, very well. He's a full Argentine international. Why PSG sanctioned the loan move when they have no midfielders is beyond me, but he's a really, really good little player and he's very young as well. He'd be one that if I could get him on the cheap or on a loan, I would maybe dip in. So if you wanted to cover, just wanted to throw those back in, that was all.
So he's gone out of the feeder league into the fraudster league.
Absolutely.
Oh, what a way to go.
And then he can come into the Premier League, and which would be, we're now going to call the let's buy a club and call it Manchester City League.
Or they could buy every club and rename them all Man City, and then they'll win every position in the league. That's their next step.
At this point, I really miss Dom and John.
And then they could employ a fraudster as a manager. That'd be even better, wouldn't it?
An overrated fraudster. They've already
done that, haven't they? Sorry, yeah.
On the weekend, again, Chris tweeted about Man United's display, and he said, "Emma, when you're my boy." Many of my boys defended like that, okay? I'd have them up against the wall. When I asked him what was his goal difference the previous season for the Pirates, he refused to answer.
I said fake news, old news.
That's history. No one cares about history. It's the future we care about, isn't it, Chris?
What was your goal difference last season, Chris?
Null and void.
Hi.
Ra said 962. He was only slightly out. It was 112 in deficit. So let's just bring this back to reality.
The pitches were terrible. You couldn't play the beautiful game on them pitches.
Oh, shut up. Right, Danny, question to you. Kman 1867 asks, how many players out in January and how many players in?
I wouldn't be surprised if there's no players out in January and no players in, because I think if you have got limited funds, which we have got, and then you want to get a big player, very rarely are you lucky enough to get an Aubameyang in the or a Mkhitaryan in the January transfer window. If something like that comes up, then maybe. But no, I think you need to save your money for the summer and then spend it big. And then the rest of the other teams who might want some of our players might also feel the same way. They're not going to go and splash out on an Elneny or a Jenkinson or someone like that until they've sorted out there. Because most players' contracts end on the 30th of June each year. And so clubs are now going to be worried about the finances because they can't just go out and fill their team full of players just for the sake of it, because they've got wonderful £250 million sponsorship deals that are actually only worth £4 million. You can't go and do that, everyone. So you've got to bide your time. So I wouldn't be surprised if no one does. But I don't know how he feels about loans, because there's loads of players we can get in on loan. Wenger wasn't really a fan of loan players unless they were injured, of course, and he snapped them up. But yeah, I think you mentioned a little bit earlier, Jace, that there is we could get some players in on loan. There are loads of players out there that we could get on loan that could do a decent job for us, whether they've fallen out with the manager or whether they're just whether they've gone full Ramsey and can't be bothered anymore.
Okay, thanks for that, Dan. Chris Grant Wilborn asks, okay. Questions, boys, he says, with Welbs out injured and unlikely to get his contract renewed, and Emery reluctant to employ Nketiah, do we recall Nelson in January or hope Mislintat can find a striker?
The latter or neither. Because no, leave Nelson where he is. He's doing a good job. I'm again in the camp that is a little bit worried about how much hype he's getting. He's doing very, very well, and he's proving that he's taken a chance, and fair play to him. He's taken a chance. He's gone abroad and he's proven that he can step up, and that's great. I'm going to reserve judgment till he comes back to Arsenal and I see him do it at our level. But while he's there, leave him there. He's having a good time. As for reinforcements, I mean, it's a shot in the dark. None of us know how much money is available. None of us know who's looking. I wouldn't be surprised if we did pull out a couple of younger players in the January window, but I don't think we'll be going for big money, to be honest.
Well, definitely. Now Grimaldi's been sacked, we might be able to get some decent players from France. Not everyone else has been getting.
Well, yeah, there is that. Or we could give Thierry a ring and get the Monaco. No, that's not
doing. Oh, he'll be in League Two, wouldn't he? So he'll have plenty of players that might want to be there anymore.
Poor old Thierry.
It's not going well.
Likes at the end of this. Okay, I'm going to suffer you to India. So,
you're tempted to give it a thumbs down yourself because Chris won't shut up.
I've got a gutsful of the pair of you tonight. God knows I've missed Chris, okay? But he really has made up for it tonight. Me rambling, it's you rambling, and if it's not you rambling, it's that idiot rambling. Seriously, dear listeners, welcome to Car Crash ABW Live. We're epic. This is such a load of nonsense. This is honest to God.
Get on with it.
Okay, sorry. Chris, Pete Coulson asks, I will stop watching Arsenal forever if the diabolical elite European League happens. What about you?
Wouldn't stop watching forever, but I'm very much in the camp of I hope it doesn't happen. Not a fan. I think the format is fine as it is. It reeks of money. It's all a financial thing. It's a power play from Europe's elite to try and get yet more money. Exactly.
It's a power play to combat the Premier League power, financial might, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm just not sure that any good would come of it. I mean, the hilarity of it is that the Spurs weren't named in the elite clubs, which I did find funny. But
it's not 1961, is it? So they were going to be.
No, No, exactly. Or black and white TV. And why Liverpool in there then? But yeah, I just don't think anything good have come of it. You know, and there's no relegation, nothing to play for. And call me old fashioned, but I quite like, you know, trips to Cardiff and Swansea and Blackpool and Reading. And, you know, I quite like that. I quite like the old school style. And, you know, the idea that the only London derbies we would have would be like basically Chelsea and potentially Spurs. That's it. No, I'm not a fan of that. I think what Arsene said will probably end up happening one day. I think what will probably happen is the European Super League might not be a thing, but I think we're going to start to see Champions League games at the weekend and the domestic calendar move to midweek more. I think that's what we're probably going to see, which I'm not a fan of either. I mean, I'm not saying, bring back all the games at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. I'm not one of those. I'm open to change. I like the idea of new and, you know, exciting styles, but nah, I don't know. And maybe as an Arsenal fan, maybe part of me is a little bit scared of it because I'm not sure how many wins we'd get playing against Europe's elite right now. So
why would we even be invited in it? Well, let Man United and Chelsea and Man City fuck off and we'll win the league more often. I'm up for it. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there is that. I don't know. Yeah. I hope it doesn't happen, basically.
Yeah, it's not fan friendly. It's just another way of screwing us left, right and centre, to be honest with you. So fuck them. And the last question of the night, formerly Norza asks, I'm going to take this one. Is Lord Bentner guilty or not guilty?
Trumped up charges, Jason, I think you'll find.
He's massively guilty of wasting all that effing talent, and he annoys the shit out of me.
Do you know what would be a brilliant job for him, though? When John retires from Fake Taxi, But wouldn't Bentner be brilliant? Because if he couldn't find a girl, he could just fuck the taxi. It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? I'm telling you, that is the job for him.
You've let him go too far, Jace. This is on your head. You're the host.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry, listeners. I'm so sorry. But in any case, that's it for tonight. That is it.
He got a laugh out of John, so.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
To all those in the chat box, thank you ever so much. You're superb. We always appreciate your kindness, the fact you participate in it. You know, whether you're talking nonsense or whether you're making really good points or whether you're just having a laugh, you're absolutely brilliant. So thank you ever so much. If you're listening in any other format and you want to be part of the chat box, subscribe to the YouTube channel, click on the bell icon, and you will be informed of whenever we go live. We go live after every single game. That's basically what's going to happen. You know, even if it's just me on you. And trust me, if it was just me on you, it would be a better show than with these two idiots tonight. My God. God knows. Well, God help us all. But no, thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. This show is dedicated to Brendan and Yvonne. You just rock our worlds. Thank you very much. Your generosity is phenomenal. So thank you. Dollary doos and pound sterling. It works.
We've nearly got enough to send Don home. Dom home.
He probably knows it comes in with a cheeky carpenter out. I like
that. Oh, hello.
Oh, it's good.
I'm talking to Carpenter out. Mr. Carpenter, it's been good to have you back.
Thank you.
Excellent. Even though I lost the will to live at one point.
Well, I do pretty much every time I'm watching. Yeah. At least nobody had to suffer my face. That's got to be a good thing. It's been that long that my computer doesn't recognise the camera anymore. That says it all. But no,
if in 6 months' time you aren't back, where can people find you? Because it's going to be another 6 months.
No. I will try and come on. I'm juggling a lot of things at the moment. But I genuinely, if I can hop on, I will. But equally, I don't want to. I don't want to take, when people are booked, I don't want to just say, oh, I'm available at last minute and take someone's spot. So I'll be around when I can. I'm at AFCFreddy8 if you want to find me on the Twitter. The beautiful, feel free.
If you go in, about to put your Instagram in the chat box. If you want pictures of Chris half naked, that's where you go.
It's pictures of Chris doing 80s album cover poses.
It's actually, I've made my Instagram private now, so anyone that wants the good stuff has to request to follow me now. So
too big for the likes of you lot, you don't get fucked.
No, I just couldn't be bothered with all the abuse. No, I that was good fun. and follow the pirates, because that's always good fun. And I am going to, we're doing a Christmas... we're doing a Christmas giveaway, which I'll give Danny some details of in future weeks before. But yeah, we're doing a little Christmas giveaway of one of our delightful shirts. So stay tuned to that.
Brilliant stuff. Brilliant stuff. Always follow the Pirates, guys. They're good value, win, lose or draw. Okay. And to be fair, I hate being nice to Chris, but Chris does put an awful lot of effort into that. So yeah, give him a follow. Dan, thanks for turning up.
It's nice to be a third wheel. In between you two,
you'd be holding hands if you weren't, you. You know, just the way we roll. It's just the two of us. That's me and John. That is sorry.
Well, thank you very much for hosting, Jason, because you were in a really bad mood before we started, and now you're in a less bad mood. So we've helped.
You actually have. Podcast this week is with John Welsh and Cactus Jack Richard. It's a really, really good listen. Give it a listen, people. The Wolves game on Sunday of the show, it's going to be a four-man lineup. It's myself, it's John, it's Dom, and it's Danny the GFP, though he will be censored on that. So come and join us straight after the game. Thoughts to Danny Welbeck especially and Lichtsteiner. Horrible things to happen. And we just hope that it's not as bad as feared, but I wouldn't hold up much hope. But to them both, get well soon. Dan, switch us off. Thank you. Good night and goodbye.